Welcome to Go Home Heat, an NXT podcast. We have New Year's Evil. We have Justin. We have Justin, who is evil.
Yes.
Everything is evil.
Everything is evil. Shout out to Io Shirai.
Yes, absolutely. Dexter Lumis begins this show, this specialty show, alone in the dark. Walks up to a soundboard and a light controlling board. Flips a switch, the building goes fire, and we have New Year's Evil.
And he has a sweet jacket.
Goes from a black shirt to a on fire-ish velvet thing.
Oh, jacket. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
You can never do too much when it comes to tux tops.
No.
All right. So then we get Damian Priest coming to the ring. Karrion Kross comes out with Scarlett. The ring entrance I love from them anyway. Mm-hmm. Cross versus Priest is going to be commercial free. Stu Bennett and Vic Joseph are on commentary. Stu was great here. Vic as well. They tie up in a test of strength. They don't break it. They wind up rolling out onto the floor till Cross, I believe, starts slamming Priest against the barricade.
Mm-hmm.
Priest is always great with his strikes, and he does that again here. Cross's power game, he manhandles him. Cross veered a little bit away from his submission game in this, which I thought was more optically pleasing.
Yeah,
in a match.
Well, I'll say he looks to me too to be about 80% recovered.
Right.
He doesn't have the pop in the spring that he has when he's at top of his game. I think he was ready to get back in the ring. And I think the more he's in the ring, the better he'll, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, definitely more, a lot more strike heavy.
I love Priest.
I do too. And he really showed out because I think he carried this match
mm-hmm.
for a lot.
Right. And part of the story is Cross injuring Priest's ribs, so it makes it hard for Priest. When he begins to come back, something will happen that injures his rib again.
I like him doing the Rocky III. Mm-hmm. Did you hear him?
You ain't so bad.
You ain't so bad.
You ain't so bad. Yeah, that was total Rocky III, and it worked. It worked really good. He almost has an Iron Cross armbar thing, but
it's a inverted crucifix.
That's what it was. That's right. That's right.
It took me a second to figure it out. I was like, that looks really cool. It's inverted the crucifix.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cross slides out, pummeling the ribs again. We get a tree of woe spot. Again, he goes to the ribs. Priest fights out. He struggles for a razor's edge. Karrion's on the apron. Priest kick to the head. Priest hits his South of Heaven in the ring. This is really, really high level. And like you said, too, considering Priest kind of had to carry both the offense and the defense, he did a lot of the selling and all the flashy offense. The finish was kind of brutal. As Cross hits these, what is it?
Saito suplex,
and then the forearm to the
just back of the head, dude. That's like a in real life.
That'd kill a guy.
That'd kill a man.
Right.
If Karrion Kross hits you at the base of your spine, base of your skull, with a forearm or an elbow,
mm-hmm.
has every chance you'll never breathe again, or you might never walk again. One of the two.
Right.
That is vicious looking, dude.
Yeah.
I know it's not flashy, and a lot of people like flashy. I like stuff that looks like it would put somebody down.
Well, when you put it on the heels of the suplex.
Yeah, dude.
It really...
It pops.
Yeah. Yes, and they go together.
Yeah.
So beautifully, because he's going to wind up on the other side of you anyway.
I'm going to drop you in this spot, and right on the back of your head here, because that's what that suplex is designed to do, like right on the back of the neck and head.
And you'll be disoriented. And while you're disoriented, I'm going to put you to sleep with an elbow in the same spot.
Same daggone spot.
Both moves hit the same spot.
Yeah.
I thought it was...
Yeah.
I enjoyed this match.
I'm such a Karrion Kross mark in it, you know, and it...
Well, he's legitimate, and you like that.
Anyway. I do. And I'm
both these guys are.
Yeah. I mean, Priest's kicks and strikes are as pretty as anything you'll ever see.
Right. Now, Priest is supposedly moving to another show.
Did you? Yeah, in the he was supposed to go to SmackDown last week. They were going to have him team with. He was at the show. They're going to have him team with Kevin Owens, and they were going to do the whole the same thing they did with Aleister Black and Rey Mysterio, and the same thing they've done with all these dudes of his best friend that you did not know these What's guys ever hung out together.
Keith Lee and Drew McIntyre.
Yes. Never hung out together, but now they're best friends. Mm-hmm. It was the exact same crap. And Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns nixed it. Like, they were both like, this doesn't make any sense.
Why would the guy that you have walking around popping bottles of champagne and getting in hot tubs somehow be best friends with Kevin Owens?
Who's like the antithesis of that? Of
everything. I love both characters.
Yes, but they're not.
But no, and it doesn't make sense to spring it on us in a buddy cop movie thing without yeah. the time to give us a story that yeah, makes
you,
it that.
You got
to
build Lethal Weapon up.
Right. If they fought each other and respected each other on the other side, it's yes. one thing. But to have him just walk out there and be like, yeah, that's my old good old buddy Kevin. I take my supermodels over to the house and we have dinner with their kids all the time.
Yes, yes.
While I drink heavily.
Yeah, and while I do like martial arts and Kevin doesn't.
Drinks beer and watches...
Drinks Molson and watches Simpson. Hockey.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Sorry for the Canadian joke.
That's awesome. Okay. Then we get a Cole Strong interview with McKenzie, and they just let us know that they're in the tag team thingy again, and that, of course, at the end of this show, there will be a new world champion. And they also talk up Breezango a little bit.
Yeah.
Which I thought was good. Then we get the Cruiserweight title match. Lindsay El Dorado escorts Grand Metalik against Santos Escobar. Stu Bennett, this is a man of wealth and taste. And I thought, I loved you, Stu, but mm-hmm. when you start quoting Mick Jagger,
yeah,
you had me at hello.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Nice.
Yes, yes. One tag partner.
Sympathy for the Devil.
Yes. What a song.
Yes. Okay. My favorite Stone song.
Is it?
Yes.
It's up there, man.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you go, well, yeah, they play it too much. Well, there's a reason.
Yeah. But I was never huge Stones mark, so I didn't over-listen to it, you know? So.
Right. Yeah. That and Paint It Black are incredibly evil.
Yes. Which, and I like a good evil song.
Well, and they're not the Beatles.
No.
They wear the black hats anyway, so it works.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's who... All right, we talked about this the other day, I think. What was the movie with Strawberry Fields and the Beatles? And
it's Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Yes. Peter Frampton and yes. Bee Gees and stuff.
And the Aerosmith is the bad guys. Mm-hmm. I totally think they were supposed to be the Rolling Stones, kind of.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be the Rolling Stones anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know? Let's call it.
Yeah. The difference is, of course... Steven's a little better singer, and that doesn't matter.
Yes.
Because no. Mick's still Mick. Okay. This is a really, really good match. It also is a neat Grand Metalik walking the ropes, doing all of those things. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they're fighting for the soul of...
Lucha Libre.
Right. One is the thing that the Americans believe is Lucha Libre.
Yes.
And Escobar is the antithesis of that.
No,
and
yeah.
the champion. And he manages to pull this thing out.
What Which was never really in doubt.
No, but what did you think about it?
I thought it was a cool match. I mean, it was very... If you want to see a great Lucha Libre-style match, I could point you at this one and say, go watch this. This is going to... You know, you'll get to see some guys who really know how to work this style. Make it look good.
I thought so, too. Now, then we get to Zia Lee... And
I marked out for this.
The new entrance?
The whole thing. Start to finish.
Okay, we have the evil lady thing.
Yeah.
Sit down in a...
Big Trouble in Little China.
Absolutely.
Lo Pan. She's like a female Lo Pan.
Yes. And then...
And Xi Li even comes out looking like one of the Thunders with the cool hat on and everything. Almost.
Absolutely. And the place is on fire.
Yes.
The screens are on fire. The snake, the everything.
And going with the whole Big Trouble in Little China thing, the weapons she brought out are...
What are those?
MA piercers is what they're called.
Oh.
They're a Chinese weapon. They're monks used to carry them and stuff. They you can spin them, and it's got a little ring on there sometimes that you can use to spin them around. And one of the storms on Big Trouble in Little China, if I remember correctly, has MMA piercers is his weapon.
Nothing like intimidating you while reminding you that Kurt Russell once defeated mystical Chinese army.
Yes. Basically getting drunk. It's a great movie. If you haven't seen Big Trouble in China, I cannot recommend it enough. It's fun.
Well, and the other thing is, too, it's so good. Is Escape from New York before or after that?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
Because one of those movies made somebody decide the other one was okay.
Yes.
And either way, it works. But it only works because Kurt Russell can work in any environment.
Yes, he's
whether
there.
It be The Blob or The Thing or...
Yes. Man, he has had some leaps.
Dude, whatever you want to do with him, he can do it. He was... What was he with the... Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, he was Ego.
The planet Ego, right? Yeah. He's been a whole planet, for God's sakes. Okay. Yeah.
But Zili comes out and with Bao, and Scott Bao, I don't know.
And fights Pink Mask Lady.
Who never have I seen somebody who epitomized Jobber.
Yeah, she is the Rusty Brooks of this era. Ugh. And Zili puts her down with some punishing strikes.
Oh, the knee... That spinning...
Woof. That kick looked like it landed.
Oh, dude. Well, that's the difference.
Think there was padding in her mask?
Watch her throw a kick. Watch her strike. Watch her do these things. And I just don't understand how you don't have every female in the division. You train them on every other thing. Have them get in there with her and learn how to throw. Have 90% of the men.
Yeah.
In there, learn how to throw, and not the fancy stuff, but just how to throw a strike that looks like it's trying to actually hit somebody. You know, Mercedes Martinez comes out later and throws like she looks like such a vicious, like awesome competitor, but some of her strikes are like slap fighting. But Zia Lee looks like, man, I'm so excited to see where they go with this if they really let her, you know. She looked bad, dude.
I'm very excited about this. Just like you now. Now, Thatcher is injured in the training process and won't be fighting this.
Apparently, that's fake. Match. They just wanted to move that match to do it on another night to get a bigger pop for it.
Well, dude, this was a loaded show.
Oh, it's very loaded.
And I didn't mind it because you almost didn't have enough time for everything anyway.
You didn't.
And so Bronson Reed does a little thing about that's a shame, but you're going to see me be the big bad guy, and then he predicts Ripley will win. And then we get Ripley versus Gonzalez in a last woman standing match. They start out in the ring with the brute force. Gonzalez hits. Nobody has ever reminded me of Scott Hall as a wrestler until Gonzalez.
I can see that.
And Scott was, people forget because of so much of the other stuff, Scott was fantastic at realizing if you're getting to Hogan, you got to go through me, which means whoever gets through me has to look great because they're fighting for the belt.
Yes. And Hogan's not going to make him look good.
Right. I have to make him look good.
Yes.
In order for the match to appear like it was good.
Yeah.
and also, I don't have to get my stuff in because I'm huge.
Mm-hmm.
A right cross from me is my stuff.
Yeah.
But I can get stuff in. And I will periodically because that'll be the story sometimes. But I'll save it and I'll work it. And she is a perfect big, we used to call it big man, but perfect bigger wrestler. She does do a fallaway slam, which is why I think of Scott Hall, brutal. Right? Because Scott was the guy with the fallaway slam. And this match, this may be my favorite last man standing match I've ever seen.
It was great. It was so good from start to finish.
You know why? When you watch a last man standing match or a I quit match, you always spend time waiting on a person to quit, or you spend time.
There's so many pauses and gaps.
First three moves in a match, I hit my finisher, I stand up, I say count them. We count to 10. Then we do that 42 times in the course of 10 minutes. Where the referee's counting to 10.
And they get up on the 8 or the 9.
And one or the other is standing looking while the other. Okay. Here, first time around, after a pretty good bit of fighting, Gonzalez, again, throws Ripley into the announcer's table and her back hits really weird. Mm-hmm. And I was worried about her, but she seemed okay as the fight went on. Gonzalez piles stuff on top of her, says count.
Yeah.
That's the only time that happened.
Mm-hmm.
In the match. Every other time the referee counted, nobody asked for it. Both people were down and struggling to stand. Uh-huh. They only had seven counts in the whole fight.
That's good. I'll take that.
And we never wasted time with somebody looking for a ref and asking them to count and the ref counting. The ref did it. As soon as they both went down on a move that looked like it could have finished them, the ref started counting. Mm-hmm. There was no wasted motion in
this. And you need that because there's going to, by necessity, be pauses. So the more you can magnify and get the, you know, cut that as little down to as little as possible, the better for the whole match.
Absolutely. The flow.
Yeah.
You have a spot where Ripley handcuffed. First of all, whenever they slam each other onto the NXT barricade, there's the chain link fence and the plexiglass. And so it has that hockey feel whenever mm-hmm. you hit somebody on it. She does wind up. Ripley winds up handcuffing her to the bottom area.
After Martinez brought in the handcuffs first, and then had the back and forth. But
then Martinez manages to just rip a piece of the fence off.
That looked cool.
It did work. It worked. And
then attacked her with the fence piece.
Absolutely. Of course you would.
Yeah,
you would. If you had it handcuffed to yourself. And then as we go through this thing, so many just really good spots.
The outside the ring stuff where beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah, they would. Ripley falls off the stage. When they fight up to the stage, Ripley winds up falling off the stage. Gonzalez chases.
Gonzalez kicks her down the stairs.
And they wind up backstage, and Ripley hits a two-stride spear that drives both of them through a glass door. The door shatters, and that's one of your third 10 count there as they both struggle to stand. Ripley puts Raquel on a table and climbs to the top of some lockers, jumps down onto her on that table, does a flip onto her, breaks the table. It looks like maybe she's got her here, but Dakota Kai attacks during that 10 count. And with the kendo stick and Rip forearms, Kai kicks Raquel again, slams Dakota's head into the said lockers, and then winds up throwing Dakota Kai into the lockers and then rolling
one of the production crates in front of it.
Right. So now Dakota Kai can't be involved at all. And Gonzalez by now has recouped, of course, and we get more of the back and forth. We get the fight back out into the area where the LED screens are.
Well, you had that spot, too, where she put her on top of, like, a table or one of those production things and jumped off.
Yeah.
Like, did a
climb to the top of the lockers. Swantoned onto it, right. That is what leads into Kai with the kendo stick.
Yeah.
Then we get the inverted clover leaf by Ripley, and then she somehow manages to hold Gonzalez, who's very big, and then holds her still while doing that, reaches down, grabs a chair, wraps it around
her head,
Gonzalez's head. But that uncertainty in her stability, trying to do two things like that, allows for Gonzalez to kick her to get out of the hold and kick Ripley back into one of the
LED screens.
LED screens, and then she stumbles forward into another bit of a brawl, and then Ripley, it wasn't quite a Death Valley driver, but throws her into the bigger LED screen, and Raquel just kind of
falls straight down
onto her head. Oh, yes.
That scared me.
Yeah, of course. Gonzalez, it's shades of Shane
McMahon.
Right.
Triple A, Kurt Angle's going to get you through this safety glass. It's not.
Right.
It's not.
It's not safety glass.
And somebody get this guy off me.
And then, of course, Gonzalez winds up picking up Ripley. I think she was on top of a set of stairs.
One of those boxy things.
By the way, both of those girls are able to pick up these steel stairs and swing them around like nothing.
Yes.
Right. And then she plants her through. They both break through the actual floor of the stage. Ripley, Gonzalez crawls out on 10 for the win. Supposedly, Ripley is leaving the show as well to go to one of the other two brands. Mm-hmm. It was a great send-off. She did a wonderful job. We've taken a character in Raquel Gonzalez that was an afterthought as a bodyguard and made her not only the number one contender, but probably the most formidable opponent of Io's reign.
Yes.
And no matter what happens with that, we have a star.
Yes.
In Gonzalez for this show.
You have a star for women's wrestling or wrestling in general going forward, I think.
Absolutely.
If you use her correctly, she's big time.
Absolutely. And so then the Way shows up after this and with a parade.
Yes, that would be a parade.
Austin Theory has a nice car or an OJ
yeah.
segment.
Right? Very similar.
Wasn't it just cop cars escorting?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think the OJ Simpson's Bronco thing was an escort. It was a little different.
It's like the slowest chase ever.
Yes.
AC driving the Jeep. I mean driving the Ranger. Or Bronco.
I'm down. What is it? What was the cube line? I'm down with Dre like AC is down with OJ.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Oh, anyway. Gargano Theory are going to enter the Dusty Classic, which sounds great. Shotzi brings out a tank after they have been. He gets a plaque. Johnny gets a plaque for all of this.
Yes.
He's reversed the curse. Everything is hunky-dory. Shotzi rolls out with the new tank. And Theory approaches the tank and gets the Nerf football shot out of the tank into his tallywhacker.
Yeah.
That looked really painful.
Well, yeah, and I think that's on his fault because he kind of walked in front of the gun. I mean, that's...
In theory, when you can be fairly certain that the gun itself doesn't have much mobility,
mm-hmm.
walking straight into it is dumb.
It's dumb.
Right.
Yeah.
But hey, everybody has their thing.
Yes.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe that's Austin Theory. I'm not judging. I'm not shaming you, Austin.
Kick me in the Jimmy. Okay. When I Beavis and Butthead?
Yes.
Okay. Now we get all of this winds up.
Shotzi attacks Candace. Yeah. And then Kushida comes out
to make sure Gargano doesn't help and we get a match. Kushida, Shotzi versus the Garganos, who are not dressed to fight, but they are in tennis shoes, so let's go. And I thought this was a good little thingy.
It was.
Theory and Hartwell help cheat. Kushida pulls Theory into the corner. Johnny attacks. All this good stuff. Toehold turns into another shot on Theory's tally.
Yes.
So we may have something here as far as...
Yeah, this is something he's down for.
Right. Maybe so. Yeah. The finish here winds up being Kushida with the unique roll-up and win. I like the idea of Kushida and Johnny Gargano being in a program.
Oh, definitely.
I like the idea. They also are going to have Kushida and...
Leon Ruff.
As a tag team. So that rivalry will be played out at the Dusty Rhodes Classic as well.
Yes.
I can't imagine two more fast people on a tag team than
that's
Kushida
very fast.
And Leon Ruff. That's a lot of quicks.
They'll call themselves speed kills or something like that.
Correct. Or they could call themselves Flashpoint.
Flashpoint's pretty good.
Because doesn't Kushida had the whole Back to the Future gimmick mm-hmm. anyway. So the evolution
mm-hmm.
of it with the speed aspect. Yeah, that was a reach for me, but whatever.
It was good.
I liked it. Okay, the Valentine Day NXT TakeOver will be on Valentine's Day, we find out, which is, what's more romantic than that?
Watching wrestling.
Yeah. Wade Barrett, Vic Joseph, and us being, yeah. Okay. McKinney with Regal again, and then we get the announcement that there will be a women's NXT Dusty Rhodes Classic.
Yes.
Which I'm very excited about that, too. Because, dude, they really are finally making an effort to give us a women's tag division that goes over three brands. And that also kind of probably opens the door to having some of these other stars come to NXT for mm-hmm. a day or two.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all for it. Maybe you put a couple of those matches on some of the other shows.
What? Getting crazy there.
Yeah, cool. O'Reilly versus Balor for the NXT title. And full disclosure... on our year-end episode, the O'Reilly Balor match is either one or two for me, the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do a match these close together,
yeah,
you have to have a reason. I'm not a huge, we talked about it earlier in a different podcast, I'm not a huge working an injury mm-hmm. angle guy, but in order to make the match different and make it make sense, you do them this close together, you kind of have to do something.
You have to do something, just tweak it.
So you create a story that piggybacks on the story you told in the last match.
Exactly.
This one, they're doing all of the great things they did in the first match. Finn winds up getting an abdominal stretch onto O'Reilly. He doesn't have a limb to reach out and grab the rope with. He, ignorantly enough, puts his mouth on the doggone rope. And Finn does the logical thing and kicks the rope,
mm-hmm.
injuring O'Reilly's mouth, which harkens back to the fact that O'Reilly had injured
broke his jaw.
I love the fact that Wade Barrett bothered to mention there's a reason why you've never seen anybody do something that stupid,
mm-hmm.
and it cost him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Because don't ignore the fact that
that's dumb.
That he shouldn't have done that.
Yeah,
because it cost him. Mm-hmm. And also, hey, if you're going to copy wrestlers, Britt Baker's the girl.
Yeah, it is.
Then wasn't she doing that for a while? Putting people's mouth on the rope and kicking
them? Yes, she was.
Straight rip. Adam Cole.
Yep.
Bay. Selling
that
up.
That was shot across the jaw from old Finn to Adam.
Yes.
Still your girlfriend's moves. What are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do? Okay, and so then we get... So that's part of the story, is that O'Reilly will have to fight through the same or similar pain that Finn had to fight through mm-hmm. in the last one. Finn, though, in this version, goes to that jaw constantly.
Yes.
Whenever he has O'Reilly in the corner, he throws his forearms and elbows across it, just rubbing him on that area that's injured.
Really maximizing.
Sling blades, he's a little high on them. The brain busters. Everything he does emphasizes that area. O'Reilly is fantastic in this thing as well. We do get a lot of abdominal stretch style holds from Finn, which comes into play later as well.
Well, it's attacking that stomach and liver area.
Mm-hmm. Which is something that we're learning that Finn is good at here.
Well, it sets up his finisher, the coup de grace, where he stomps you in that same general area.
Yeah. Somehow or another, O'Reilly winds up splitting Finn's head open.
Yeah.
After like a suplex of some kind.
It was something, yeah.
Yeah, and that was that, but it made the optics great.
Yeah, it did.
You know? Now, Kyle is working arm bars through the whole thing, and that allows for Finn to have to deal with the fact that he's injured now, too.
Mm-hmm.
Every time Finn starts to get an advantage, Kyle is able to curtail that by hitting the arm. Even when Finn is actually very good at selling injuries in matches. And, like, he utilizes his offense without using the arm.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
And I like,
as well.
Too, that Kyle would throw kicks to that arm. He wouldn't throw him to the head. He was attacking
working the body
strikes.
Part. Exactly right. It was like you told me Wednesday night. You said masterclass in storytelling
mm-hmm.
is what we got here. And we wind up with that's it. That's what winds up happening. Finn hooks the leg after the suplex, and that's when he gets cut. But he hooks the leg, and we get a pinning predicament and a near fall. In Finn's advantage, even though he was the one that received the offense from the top rope.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kyle never releases that hold and turns it into a brain buster. And that winds up being an arm bar.
The
sequence was slick because Finn is able to utilize the good arm to protect the arm injured.
Uh-huh.
And then when Kyle sees what's going on, he immediately rotates seamlessly into an arm bar on the other arm.
Yeah.
And Finn can't because he doesn't have a good arm to protect it any longer. So now he is in the hold. But in all of that effort, they get close enough to the rope that Finn's able to get a foot on it, which breaks the hold.
Yeah.
And again, it's the little things that make things great.
It is.
And this was a sequence of any lesser performer would not be able to counter it. And we turned into this match could end right now logically.
Yep.
Four times based on the move that they were put into, not the move they were putting into somebody else.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that was just, ugh, okay. And so then as Finn struggles to his feet, he's in the corner. Kyle can smell it. He knows he's going over. And he runs into the liver kick. He's almost helpless now. Kyle does muster up enough gusto to attempt a leg shoot, but Finn counters that into an abdominal stretch. He elbows the same kidney. He kind of somewhat rolls that into some form of a cross as well.
It's an interesting, it's like a, he's got the arm, he's got the head. Yeah, I can't, there's probably a name for that.
Dude, he has both his arms stretched out. He's got his abdominal area stretched out, and then he reaches across and grabs the jaw that is supposedly broken and starts yanking it backwards.
Yes.
And so now the liver,
everything is being attacked.
And the jaw, both areas that have been injured are being pulled, and that gets you the tap out and the win. I thought this was fantastic.
Yep. Everything worked to get you where the end was.
I thought the show was fantastic.
It was great. Start to finish.
If Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley really are leaving the show, I feel really bad for them because I don't think they'll be utilized as well as they could.
I said when I found out that Damian Priest didn't get to go on SmackDown, I was like, man, lucky Joker. Dodge that bullet.
Or maybe this is the right time to go because they are listening to Kevin and Roman.
Yeah, if they go to SmackDown.
If they go to Raw, God.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But Ripley may need to go to Raw. But if wherever Ripley winds up, dude, if you put Ripley on Raw with Nia Jax and
Shayna Baszler,
whew, that's a lot of intimidation,
fierceness
in one place. And then it's Charlotte's bouncing around, and you get Becky back, and Lord have mercy, that main roster women's.
You can do a whole women's show.
They really could.
Yeah.
They really need to do another Evolution pay per view. I feel like they could totally do. You know how they have that superstar show or main event on the network? And they do that, and it's only like two matches and it highlights. They could do a 30 minute women's show on the network and just give us two matches. And then talk about something for 5 minutes, and it would be great.
I wouldn't have no problem with that. They could do a whole, like SmackDown or Raw that was all women's matches or something like that.
What's neat to me is that we'll get into this more as we talk about just the year in wrestling at some point. Women's wrestling right now, it's like you're watching. It's like being around in the 70s and 80s and seeing it turn into the Attitude Era and turn in like all these golden eras of wrestling back to back to back. You kind of thought when Bayley and Sasha were headlining NXT in the Iron Woman match, you thought, man, I wonder what the possibilities here are endless because they were great, but Charlotte existed as well.
Yeah.
And Becky was really good. And the Four Horsewomen were going to go on to do, what would they do? Mm-hmm. But then it didn't wind up ending with them.
No.
That was the genesis.
That was the beginning. That wasn't this is the height. That wasn't the ceiling. That was the floor.
Right. And now all of a sudden you have, I personally believe that the NXT Women's Division is the best division in wrestling altogether.
Oh, altogether, top to bottom, yeah.
With Sasha and Bayley and Bianca and all that on one show, and then you have Ripley going into somewhere, and then you have Nia and Asuka and Charlotte, and I can't believe I put Nia ahead of them.
Shayna Baszler.
Completely not true.
Yeah.
Okay, you have all them on another show, but then you go across the world and you see, of course, Stardom, which I don't get to watch as much as I should, but also you have Impact has a fantastic women's division. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, one of my favorite women's matches this year was an NWA title match with Serena Deeze. And if you didn't see that from either last week or the week before,
yeah,
Serena Deeze and Thunder Rosa wrestled. And it wasn't not the match that was on Dynamite, but it was on their show. So they got a little more time and nobody messed with them. It was Serena Deeb's crazy good. And she trained everybody we just talked about.
Yes.
She trained all of WWE wrestling. And now she's out there getting to kill it in front of
finally
people.
Finally getting to kill it. And Thunder Rosa is another one that's the next big.
Right. Well, AEW to me has had some missteps in women's wrestling.
A lot.
But when we saw when you saw what the 99, what is her real name? The Dark Order combination. The girl.
Anna Jay.
Anna Jay and her tag partner, which is the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu girl that was in NXT. That match they had with Britt and Penelope, you could see, okay, these guys are really getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, like, women's wrestling in WWE is incredible, but then it's...
You're pulling other people with you.
And the gap is starting to be less and less, and it's so great right now to see what's happening. Yeah.
It's exciting to be able to be at the cusp of something.
Yeah, man, it's really cool. It's almost like you're getting to watch history, and you know it is history as you see these great matches happen. When you see a Ripley and a Gonzalez give you what is, maybe it's not the greatest last man standing match, but it's in the argument.
It's in the argument. And it's excellent. It's great from start to finish.
And the day before that wasn't thought of.
Yes.
You know, when the Iron Woman match happens, it's in the argument. Dude. The Hell in a Cell match this year and last year were two of my favorite matches from the women.
Yeah.
Maybe Becky's greatest match ever was that one with Sasha.
Yeah. Women's War Game match.
Dude.
Yeah. Both of them.
It is amazing what is happening right now in women's wrestling. Okay. So I had a great time. You had a great time.
Excellent show.
All right. For Justin, for me, KP, copyright 2021, go home.
Woo.